Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shops, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. Andrew Marr interviewed the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Sajid Javid. This morning, the Conservatives published a dossier which estimates the cost of Labour's policies at £1.2 trillion over the next Parliament. Marr challenged Javid on these figures.
I put to you that this is bogus accounting. First of all, you've taken all Labour conference pledges and assumed that the Labour Party is going to implement them immediately in power, which is crazy. I mean, for instance, you've assumed that they're going to obliterate all private schools and put the cost of that straight in. And they're not going to do that. They've made that absolutely clear. That's one example.
What we've done is, first, we've taken their manifesto from a couple of years ago, which they still stand by, unless if they've withdrawn a policy, we haven't counted it properly.
You haven't costed the 2017 pledges fairly.
We have every single costing in this dossier that we've published today is either come from Labour's own figures, most of them actually, over 50% of the costings are from Labour's own figures. The rest of them have either come from independent external sources, and in some cases, yes, we have had to work them out ourselves, but we've done that in a reasonable way, and we've set out exactly in the document how we've done this.
But you've assumed that everything that they have as an aspiration is going to happen right at the beginning of the Parliament every single year. So, for instance, the four-day week is suggested that they're going to do this on day one, which they're clearly not. I'm just putting to you, you've actually been very unfair on them. They have, in the past, not only produced their spending plans, but they've also said how they're going to raise the money in their so-called grey book. And yet you haven't included in your numbers how they say they're going to fund their plans.
This is the true cost of Corbyn's Labour. These are the numbers that John McDonnell did not want you to see. And they're out there today. They're there for everyone to see.
Of course,
John McDonnell, Jeremy Corbyn aren't going to welcome these numbers. They don't want to see this kind of transparency. Mm. This is these are eye-watering levels of spending. £1.2 trillion.
Well,
it will be absolutely reckless and will leave this country with an economic crisis within months, not years, within months.
However, Labour's Andrew Gwynn heatedly dismissed the Conservatives' characterisation of Labour's spending plans.
This is an absolute work of fiction by the Conservatives. You can't trust a word that Johnson and his ministers say on this issue. We will have a fully costed manifesto in due course when we launch that. And, you know, the challenge is actually for the Conservatives to fully cost their own manifesto, something they didn't do in 2017. But let me make it very clear, Andrew. You know, the Tories have form at making up stories of telling mistruths. This is one of those that can be filed in fiction next to doctored images of shadow cabinet members not answering questions when actually they have answered questions.
Fair dues, but my question was, what is the figure? You must know now what the figure is. If it's not £1.2 trillion, you are promising to spend a huge amount of money in all sorts of areas. So what is the total figure?
Well, look, that's still being finalised.
You don't know yet.
Well, we don't know what the manifesto is going to be in its entirety because we've got next Saturday our Clause 5 meeting where the whole Labour family, the shadow cabinet, the trade unions, the affiliated organisations and the National Policy Forum all come together, we finalise and hammer out that manifesto. But our manifesto, Andrew, I give you this pledge, will be fully costed. There will be open transparency from the Labour Party. Let's see that from the Tories.
Marr also spoke to the Chief of the Defence Staff, General Sir Nick Carter. Marr sought Carter's views on comments recently made about the NATO alliance by France's President Macron.
President Macron of France has had a real go at NATO recently, calling it brain dead. And he means by that, I think, that there's a lack of connection between President Trump and Washington on the one hand and the European members of NATO on the other. Do you think he's got a point?
I think NATO is an extraordinarily successful alliance. I mean, we're about to celebrate its 70th anniversary, and I think that'll make it the longest and most successful alliance in military history. And the plain fact is it's adapting. The last time we had a military strategy was in 1967, and this year we have a new one. The NATO military strategy of this year is something that reflects the change in threat and the fact that we need to look at the threats to Europe on a 360-degree basis. And that's not something that we would have done in 1967. So I think it's a remarkably adaptable alliance. And I also think it's one that is not brain dead. It's looking to the future and it's attempting to adapt as a consequence of all of that.
Marr asked Carter if the UK could still justify operating an expensive nuclear weapons system.
Again, people often look back at the way we've behaved in the past and they look at something like Trident and they say Trident was a very, very powerful potent force for a previous era. In this age of internet assaults and cybercrime and all the rest of it, it's not really relevant anymore. We could save the money.
Well, of course, the challenge is it's very difficult to predict the future. And, of course, a programme like Trident is one that's a 40 to 50-year programme. And if you choose not to do something like that now, it would be impossible to get back into it. And who can tell what the world will look like in 2035? So it's an insurance policy.
Sophie Ridge interviewed Labour's Shadow Defence Secretary, Nia Griffith. Despite Jeremy Corbyn's well-known disapproval of nuclear weapons, Griffith had positive news for the general.
We are absolutely committed to keeping the nuclear deterrent. We feel it's a very, very important part of our defence, particularly now as we see a resurgent Russia and we see the, you know, the US perhaps being a little bit lukewarm about NATO. It's very important the UK takes a leading role there. And Jeremy fully understands what deterrence means. Now, no Prime Minister ever reveals exactly what they write when they write the letter, and so it wouldn't be appropriate for me to make any comment. But I can assure you that the defence of this country is absolutely foremost in Jeremy's mind.
It is a fair question to ask whether or not a Labour government would be prepared to use a deterrent that we spend so much money on renewing.
Well, I think the whole point about deterrence is that you don't give away...
Well, the whole point is that you have to be prepared to use it, isn't it?
The whole point is that you don't give away the exact circumstances or what you would actually do. It's that element of doubt about deterrence, which is very, very important as part of that deterrence. And as I have said, no Prime Minister has ever revealed exactly what they have written down. And the situation, of course, would be exactly the same for us.
The business minister, Kwasi Kwarteng, came slightly unstuck when challenged on the cost of the Conservative spending plans.
I'm just a bit confused that, you know, Conservative campaign headquarters have spent all this time working out this exact sum for Labour. They've gone through all of the spending commitments, as you say. They've got this nice big number, and yet you can't tell me what the equivalent number is for the Conservatives.
We had a budget last year which set the Parliament, so all those figures...
No, but we're interested about the next Parliament, aren't we? The election is happening. What are the plans
the
for the next 5 years?
Spent. In the last year, we had a budget, and that's what governments do. Governments have budgets where they set out spending policies. The reason why we've costed the opposition's manifesto is that oppositions can get away with things. Or opposition policies is that they can get away with these things. They can promise the earth without any real rigorous look at actually how much they're going to spend and where the money's going to come from. And that's what we've done. And it's absolutely right that we did so. It's absolutely right that the public know that Labour's plans are reckless and unaffordable.
You haven't got an equivalent number for the Conservatives, have you?
We do have a number.
What is it, then?
Well, as I've said, we're spending £150 billion more in infrastructure, and we're going to spend a lot more money on
the
police.
That's not the total number,
I'm not going to bandy
it?
Around figures.
But that's what you've been doing for Labour.
Well, of course, but that's there. I mean, that's our job, is to scrutinise what Labour are doing.
We're saying also, that's our job. No, your job is to tell us what your proposals are so voters can come to a genuine decision.
It's absolutely right for us to say this is what the opposition is saying. And this is how much it's going to cost. As I've said to you, we had a budget last year in which we set out very clearly what our spending commitments were. Anyone can see that.
And finally, Ma asked the Green Party's former leader, Caroline Lucas, about the difficulties for people trying to make greener choices in their everyday lives.
Now, apart from people who want to vote green, of course, a lot of people are asking themselves about how they live greener or more environmentally friendly, and people are giving up meat and they're thinking about their travel plans and they're thinking about their lifestyles. Can I ask you, when was the last time you flew?
I flew... my son lives in the United States and so I do fly. Not often, but occasionally I do.
I'm just saying it's very, very hard. Everyone has got these choices to make.
Of course it is, and we all try to make the changes that we can. But do you know what? I think sometimes a focus on individual behaviour, important though that is, lets the big fossil fuel companies off the hook. It lets those in power off the hook. Because what we need here is systems change. It is incredibly easy to pit one person's behaviour against another person's behaviour and say, you're not good enough. We're all trying to do our best in a deeply imperfect system. And so what we need to be doing, I think, is focusing on changing that system. Why, for example, is it so much more expensive to take the train from the UK to other parts of Europe than it is to fly. There's no reason for that. It's because we've chosen not to tax aviation fuel and VAT on aviation, and instead we do when it comes to railways. So let's change those price signals to make it easier for people to do the right thing, rather than sitting in judgment on each other,
I'm honestly not sitting in judgment.
No, not you on me, but I'm just saying generally. Sometimes I think the Green Movement can sometimes sound as if we're doing that, and I think that's very off-putting, and we shouldn't.
A bit too prim and finger-wagging occasionally.
Exactly.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store, and we also have a special offer. You can subscribe to The Spectator for 12 weeks for just £12, and you'll receive a free Amazon voucher worth £20. Just go to spectator.co.uk/voucher. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/Evening Blend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.